Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Inland Boatmen's Union strike entered its fifth day today. The largest union representing ferry workers went on strike in Alaska last week after contract negotiations between the union and the state faltered. For communities that depend on the Alaska Marine Highway system, that means making some pricey choices while they wait for the strike to conclude. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Scott Harris, president of Harris Air in Sitka, says some of the southeast communities they serve, like Haines, were hit hard as the ferry strike continued over the weekend, and that means his company is swamped.
We're kind of slammed at the moment. It's been nonstop phone calls, nonstop people booking on our flights, nonstop people asking for flights, and nonstop people trying to move freight.
Harris Air spent the weekend getting groceries, goods, and people to Haines via aircraft charter. Demand was high because the Southeast State Fair was in progress. Another Sitka company, Allen Marine, shuttled passengers to and from the fair and provided more transportation service over the weekend in the wake of the strike. Harris says they've been getting calls from communities they don't typically fly to. They've had to turn some requests down.
We just don't have enough. We don't have the capacity to do everything we're being asked to do.
The Inland Boatmen's Union of the Pacific, which represents around 400 ferry workers in the state, was still on strike as of Monday afternoon. The Alaska Marine Highway System serves 33 communities in Alaska. Many of them have been scrambling since last week to figure out alternative ways to get the goods they need. Shane Thompson owns Angoon Trading Company.
We have not been able to get any of our dry grocery in yet. We sent a bunch of air freight over the first day, and then we chartered a plane for the rest of our temperature control product the second day.
He says now the community is working together to pool resources to pay for a barge or landing craft at the end of the week if the ferry strike continues. He doesn't know the exact total, but it's pricey, somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000.
You know, obviously, you're not going to just send 1,000 pounds or something on that, you know. So we're going to put on as much weight as we possibly can and see if anybody has vehicles they need to go back and forth, and all the while hope that that they go back online and into strike, you know, before we actually get to Friday.
Thompson says he's hopeful that will happen. The community is dealing with prohibitive costs to make up for the absence of a service that makes places like Angoon, a city of around 500 people on Admiralty Island, more affordable and accessible.
You know, we have a fragile economy out here, and having the ferry come in, you know, saves people a lot of money on being able to move back and forth and in general, you know, across southeastern Alaska, not just here. And it makes it more affordable to live out here. And that's really, really, really important.
Negotiations continued on Monday between the Ferry Workers Union and the state. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
The Alaska Senate has approved paying residents a dividend of roughly $1,600 this year from the state's oil wealth fund and reversing many of Governor Mike Dunleavy's operating budget vetoes. If the bill gets a final okay from the House, it will go to Dunleavy. He has supported a dividend payout in line with a calculation that critics say is unsustainable and would equate to checks of about $3,000 this year. He can veto spending again, too. Majority Republican Senators Shelley Hughes and Mike Schauer appeared briefly during debate before being shown as excused without an immediate public explanation. Caucus rules do not call for automatic removal of members who fail to support a majority budget, but leave members open to consequences. Republican Senator Laura Reinbold was the lone dissenter. And in the House, the Alaska House has passed a fully funded capital budget, a critical remaining piece this special session. Monday's vote was the House's third try this special session to pass a fully funded capital budget, which relies on funding from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund. That fund required 30 votes in the House to tap. The vote was 31-7. Supporters of the bill had fallen one vote short on the threshold in prior effort to pass the funded budget. The bill also includes language intended to prevent various accounts, including those used for rural energy costs and student scholarships, from being swept into the reserve fund to help repay money that's being taken from it. President Trump and Republicans in Congress want you to know Republicans care about the environment too. That was the message from events this month at the White House and the U.S. Capitol. Senator Lisa Murkowski is part of the effort to showcase Republican accomplishments on the environment. As Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports, climate change was not high on the list.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Remember this White House address?
From day one, my administration has made it a top priority to ensure that America is among the very cleanest air and cleanest water on the planet. We want the cleanest air. We want crystal clean water. And that's what we're doing.
Some analysts said it shows Republicans are worried about losing younger voters and suburban women. But President Trump barely mentioned the biggest environmental issue worldwide, climate change.
Y'all ready out there? Okay, I'm Senator Graham from South Carolina. I'm here to announce with my colleagues the formation of a bicameral Roosevelt Conservation Caucus.
On Capitol Hill a few days later, Senator Lindsey Graham gathered with like-minded Republicans to plant their own green flag, telling reporters that Democrats don't own the issue.
I'm tired of playing defense on the environment.
Senator Lisa Murkowski was on stage with Graham.
There is a strong story that comes with leadership over the decades when it comes to conservation. Unfortunately, I think as Republicans, oftentimes we just don't talk about it enough.
The Roosevelt Caucus Republicans talked about protecting special places, managing forests, maintaining parks, and improving access to public lands. Like the president, at their press conference, they hardly spoke of climate change. But elsewhere on Capitol Hill last week, climate change did take center stage, with an emphasis on making the issue bipartisan.
I'm here before you to say that I was wrong in 2001.
Republican pollster Frank Luntz used to advise Republicans on how to avoid taking action on climate change by denying there's a scientific consensus. But he's changed his mind, and a 2017 fire that forced him to evacuate his L.A. house brought the issue home to him.
Rising sea levels, melting ice caps, tornadoes and hurricanes more ferocious than ever. It is happening.
Luntz spoke at a climate change hearing organized and attended by Senate Democrats.
I've changed, and I will help you with messaging if you wish to have it. But in return, you have to put policies ahead of politics. You have to make the commitment not to make it partisan.
One policy discussed at the hearing is called a carbon dividend. The government would tax carbon emissions, but instead of keeping the revenue, the money would be divvied up among Americans. By some estimates, the cost of gas would go up 36 cents a gallon, but a family of four would get $2,000 a year in dividends. The plan is coupled with removing other carbon regulations. Among those lobbying for it are major oil companies, Exxon, BP, Conoco, and Shell. And some college Republicans, like Harvard senior Kira O'Brien, originally from Ketchikan. She told senators the plan doesn't require winning the fight over climate science.
I don't really care if you believe in the science, if you're willing to take the actions that will, it's an ends and a means kind of issue. If you're willing to place the price on carbon in a way that will not harm the economy, will spur innovation and unleash the free market solution, then you have already done the work.
But the Roosevelt Republicans aren't keen on a carbon price and dividend. Senator Graham says he doesn't want a government mandate. Murkowski says she's concerned about the impact on some of her constituents.
If you're going to put a price on carbon that is going to increase the cost of diesel, home heating fuel, to places in rural Alaska that already pay sky-high rates, you've got to tell me how we are not going to hurt the most vulnerable.
Carbon dividend bills in the House and Senate have 60 co-sponsors. Only one is a Republican. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Juneau Police Officer Brent Bartlett, who was off duty Sunday evening, was arrested after he allegedly rear-ended another truck near the 4000 block of North Douglas Highway. He was charged with misdemeanor driving while intoxicated and felony assault. The driver of the other truck, a 48-year-old Juneau woman, was taken to Bartlett Regional Hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Juneau Police Department officials say they don't expect Bartlett's absence to adversely affect routine department operations. With the police department nearly fully staffed, Deputy Chief Dave Campbell says they will shuffle personnel, much like they do for vacations or extended training.
So we have enough staff to cover the vacancy that will be caused.
Referring to personnel privacy rules, Campbell would only say that Partlett started work at the Juneau Police Department in 2010 and remains an employee. He declined to divulge any other details. Campbell says department staff will start an internal administrative investigation that will run parallel to the criminal case. That review will likely determine whether Bartlett remains employed with the department after the criminal case concludes. Campbell says other officers investigated Sunday's crash, just like any other DUI case.
The officers that were working, that responded to that accident, I'm very pleased with the fact that they handled it appropriately, that they investigated it thoroughly, that they arrested Officer Bartlett for driving under the influence.
Bartlett remains held at Lemon Creek Correctional Center on no bail. And finally, let's take a look at the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island forecast from the National Weather Service. Tonight, patchy fog, scattered rain showers, low in the mid-40s. Tuesday, partly sunny, patchy fog, highs in the mid-60s, light winds. And that is the KTOO News Update for Monday, July 29th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.